Hello, 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 everyone. How are you? Hope you're having a fantastic, fantastic day, and may peace be upon you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for watching the show with me, your host, Dr. Izdihar Jamil on Yes, I Can. And today, I have the beautiful, the gorgeous, the courageous, inspirational authors of Feisty or Festy or however you want to say it. That's right, Feisty. And today they're going to be sharing with you about what it takes to powerfully share your voice in a book, because it is scary. If you haven't done it before, it is scary. If you've done it before, it's still scary because it's a part of you showing yourself out there, your vulnerability, your voice, your message that you think about. I don't think people are going to like it, but they still show up. So I just want to say a huge welcome to these ladies. I have Kimberly, Sierra, Laura, Stacy, Adrienne, Sarah, Toby, Poyet, and Bethany. Darlings, come off mute and just say hello for a second.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello for everybody. What's gonna happen? Don't worry, I've told them that we're gonna have a great time. It's just us girls talking today. So first up, I want to let them introduce themselves really quickly about who they are and what they do, so that you as a listeners and a viewers get to know them. So we start with Kimberly, just because she is the first one that pops up. I know Kimberly was like in my waiting room at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what's going on? Is it time yet? So Kimberly, darling, quickly share a little bit about yourself and about what you do.
Yes. Hello, everybody. My name is Kimberly Jessup Martin. I am an assistant pastor at the Mount Zion Church in Philadelphia. I've worked with adults with developmental disabilities for over 25 years. I am an advocate for children with developmental disabilities. I am also on the school board, Philadelphia School Board, SAC, as well. I am a new author. I have a heart for hurting women. That's my calling, that's my destiny, and that's my purpose, I believe. So I have a heart for hurting women, and I want to share my voice and let it be heard in prayer that it will help somebody else in a positive way.
Absolutely, darling. And so it is done, because you're here, your heart is a guiding compass. Sierra Gorgeous, who is the backbone, the vision, the dream, the one in the driving seat that made all this possible. She just was like, when her daughter was a couple of years old or something, if I remember, she's like, I'm writing a book. And then the next thing I know, I want to lead all this woman. And then here she is, Sierra. Tell us quickly a little bit about yourself.
Thank you so much. Really glad to be here, both with you, Izzy, and with all of these incredible women. So I am the founder of Red Thread Publishing. We're an all-female nonfiction publishing company on a mission to support 10,000 women to become successful published authors and thought leaders, really bringing women's voices and heart. And the mission is just to put women in those positions of authority, visibility, and power. And this is a perfect example. I'm really proud of everyone who's here, and love it. Wake up, everyone.
Wonderful. Do this. Yes, let's do this. Laura, darling, I know you have to leave. You're safely parked over there. So Laura, 10 seconds, go.
So I'm Laura Bonetsky-Joseph, and I have been providing spiritually based integrative holistic health for almost 20 years now. And my mission basically is addressing root issues that are systemic and plaguing our humanity. And by healing those, I consider myself actually a dragon. So I like to bring up my inner dragon. So that way we can address the powers that are hidden because of the root issues that haven't been addressed. So it's being able to access our powers that way and to heal whatever has not been able to heal.
Beautiful. Well. Thank you so much, Laura. I can feel the mama dragon, and nobody wants to mess with the mama dragon. She just, you can see her wings, like you know, coming up, spreading. So Stacy, darling, quick intro about yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Stacy Dyson. I am a poet, a playwright, and an a cappella vocalist. And I illuminate, illustrate, and try to explain the life and times of women of color, Black women, and women in general. I am also the newly crowned head of a women's international poetry network called Tesoro, which right now features 20 of the hottest voices on the circuit internationally.
That's exciting, Stacy. Now it just makes me want to become a poet. I can't even write properly, you know, now suddenly I just want to belt out some poetry about the mountains that looks luscious. Coming to mountain, which is green, perfect timing with Adriana because she has a beautiful green emerald top. Adriana, darling, let's have a quick intro about you.
Thank you. So hi, I'm Dr. Adrienne McKeon. I am a sustainable productivity and creativity coach. And what that means is that I help people, usually solopreneurs who are struggling a little bit and unhappy employees who haven't quite made that leap, but maybe want to collaborate, to innovate with ease and enjoyment, just by realigning them to their natural creative cycles and rhythms.
So that is awesome. Creativity and tapping into the inner self, right? And then kind of having it unleashed. Beautiful. And now can I have the beautiful Sarah Quinn, who are in her profile picture, has got this gorgeous yellow dress. I see her like a sunshine. So, and she lives in Florida. So it kind of like aligns with her theme, her brand. Sarah, darling, come and say hello.
Hi, everyone. My name's Sarah Quinn, and I am an authority marketing coach. I help coaches, consultants, and entrepreneurs essentially to be seen as experts in their industry using different variations of storytelling and positioning really great content that speaks to what people actually want to hear online and things that are going to help them transform. And so I do this by positioning them, you know, different ways within the industry. And like Sierra said, this is a perfect example. I also am part of the Red Thread team. And so seeing all these women here in this space, you know, being thought leaders is just really part of that mission through what I do and through Red Thread. So it's just really incredible to be here and see this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sarah. And one of the reasons that you're here is because your story, in sharing your story, stories that sell, stories that sink, stories that transform. So well done, darlings, for sharing your story. And then next I have Toby. Come and say hello, darlings.
Hello. Well, I am an entrepreneur and now a published author. I own a food business called Goodness Gracious Kitchen and Cupboard, and working on franchising Goodness Gracious Picnic Curator Company. My goal is to have that as a national franchise. So I bring awareness to my journey through narcissistic abuse and psychological abuse, while all the other obstacles I've had in my life. And I share my story and my accomplishments and my struggles through shame and healing of trauma.
That is beautiful. And look at you, darling, standing here today, smiling and proud. Well done. And can I just say, I love the necklace as well. It's kind of
Thank you.
You're welcome. So poet, darling, come and say hello to everybody.
Hi there, everybody. I am poet Khan Rasfaya, and I'm a poet, a writer. I've been writing well over a decade. Here in the last few years, I've solidified myself as a poet. I'm a published author with Red or Thread, and I have two other books under my belt as well. And I speak for women like me, single moms. I'm a voice for prison reform, Black mental health. I'm a mother of boys. So that's my voice. That's who I speak for.
That is beautiful. Like she does that, right? It's kind of a beautiful. Thank you so much, Poet. And we can feel, you know, your passion and your fire and kind of standing for those type of women. So thank you very much for that. And lastly, the beautiful Bethany, darling, come and say hello.
Hello, I'm Bethany Bagby. I'm the founder of the Family Unity Project. And I love helping families build lifelong connection and create new experiences despite our everyday busy lives.
Oh, wonderful. And look at that. So sharp, so international, so succinct. Well done, Bethany. And what a beautiful way to have family being connected to one another, because I feel that is what builds the bridge between one another. Sometimes we live in islands and, you know, without that connection, we're losing that bridge and the connection, that human touch. So that is so beautiful. Now you have met everybody, this beautiful woman. Let's get to like the hardcore on why they are here today. Each and every one of them has shared their story in the book Festy. They shared that it's not just one of the things like, ta-da, here I am kind of thing, but it's actually kind of like what they had to go through in order for them to be standing here today, right now, and what I had to go through is sometimes unimaginable, but they are here today leading the way, treading the path. So I want to start with Bethany. We'll come from you, you know, and then we kind of like, and then I'll come to you, Laura, because I know you have to leave in a few minutes. So Bethany, just quickly share, why did you want to share your voice in a book? You could have gone to other places, or other methods, but why in a book?
Let me pick a few. So top few, in a way it's cathartic, because you talked about we do all have something we've worked through to get where we are now. So in that way, being able to share that story and take that power back. And also I'm a girl mom. So for me, it all changed when I found out I was having a girl and then the second girl. And so part of it is also just showing them that, you know, whatever it is, you can do it. Even if it's scary, go for it.
Absolutely. And that's absolutely beautiful. And then, you know, when your kids see you doing it, it's a whole nother level, right? The possibility, the acknowledgement, to the point that my daughter, Nadra, who was then 6, decided that she's going to write a book because she wants to buy a pony. I'm like, okay, darling, let's do it. Let's write those books and sell those books and get you a pony. So beautiful. Now we go to Team Yellow. We have 2 Team Yellow today. Laura, darling, why did you want to share your voice in a book?
Probably because 58,000 children are legally trafficked in the, by way of family courts every year in domestic violence cases. And I'm a product of on the receiving end of that, where we are just like rape survivors, we are routinely silenced. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the, once it's in print, I think the scariest moment was actually when I pressed send to the final copy. And then I actually had an unsuspecting PTSD relapse, interestingly, because it was like, once that story is out, you can't take it back, you know? And so once it's there, you can't be silenced. And I think we have a huge epidemic of unresolved, unhealed trauma that is plaguing every root illness that we have, whether it's mental health, chronic illness, diabetes, whatever. And we don't want to look at root systems, root issues. And this is a big problem. So my story, I basically share my story of something that people don't think happens to women in domestic violence cases.
Beautiful.
So
the voice cannot be silent anymore. Basically, your voice are being heard now. And then you're like, exactly. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then click. Right. Send it over. You're like, Sierra, I made a mistake. But you know, you're like, you know what? I'm just gonna let go and let it out, because it is your legacy. It is your legacy for other people to come and hear and pick it out. So that is beautiful. And I acknowledge you for your courage, Laura, for the things that you've gone through. And it is there, out there, ready to. I always feel a book is an act of service, first and foremost. And then it goes to authority, it goes to so many other things, but it's always an act of service. So fantastic. So let's come back to Poet. So Poet, darling, why was it you had such a desire to share your voice in a book?
It's something I always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I remember being young, being 10 or 8, 9, mm-hmm. wanting to share myself. I guess because I felt silenced at home. Mm. I had a narcissistic mother and was, you know, told to keep how I felt to myself. She gave me the pen and pad, though.
Yes.
So here we are. Amen.
Oh, so, that is beautiful. It's amen. Just an outlet for you, right? Amen. In a way, an outlet for you to no more, just like Laura, no more for your voice to be silent. A way of healing, a way of creating, a way to imagine. And thank mm-hmm. God that she did that, right? In her right mind, you know, that was the right. moment. She's like, I'm going to give Poet this pen and paper. And that's it.
If I could just add on to what Laura said, so much of this epidemic of unhealed trauma. And that's what my chapter in Feisty is about healing the mother, healing the woman, healing the mother. And what the benefits of healing the mother, why it is necessary, it's detrimental to heal the mother. Because the mother heals, the mother is the nation. And not just, this is women that have children and don't have children. This is just women in general. This is just what we do. Amen.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, Poet. And Toby, darling, what was your calling to write a book? Like some of you were like, you know what? It's cool to do that. It's been one of my dreams. Certainly it was for me. I think that it's cool. I want to do it too. I don't think I can do it, but I want to do it too. What was your calling, Toby?
Subconsciously, I think I always had a dream to write a book or be a published author, and then later realizing I needed to share my story in order to accept my own story. Mm-hmm. And I always write. I'm a much better writer than I am a communicator because I have those PTSD chokehold. You know, I have that chokehold on me. And so, I felt like I'm on a journey and I needed to put it out there and release it in order to embrace it myself and maybe have someone else connect. You know, I also, just like Laura, I completely had a PTSD relapse mm-hmm. after the book came out. And I'm still kind of in that headspace a little bit. And so I know I have so much more healing to do. And we talk about what PTSD does to you. I will tell you, my mother, she's in late stages Alzheimer's. She had early onset, like started in her 60s. And the Center for the Aging Brain said it had a lot to do with unresolved trauma, mm-hmm. being in a state of unresolved trauma. And so that's why it is so critical. And I think the first part is sharing your story, whether it's in a book, you know, in a journal, to a person that you can trust, in therapy, whatever it is, sharing the story, it just gets it out. And, you know, yes.
It's a resolute, right? It's creating yes. a resolution, a completion in a sense of, you know, there are so many parts opening doors, but it's kind of a resolution of one door and then lead to the next and the next. Well, thank you so much, darling. That was absolutely beautiful. And the courage that it takes, the relapse after sending it and still having it. But well done for doing it despite the challenges. So such a brave woman. So well done, darling. Sarah, so darling, I know you have a few books under your belt. So what made you like, you know what, I'm going to do another one? Because, you know, sometimes one is like, I just want to do one, that's it. But you're like, you know what, let's go for another and another. So what made this such a powerful tool or powerful platform for you?
Yeah, so I love this question because, you know, working with authors and working with entrepreneurs, I think a lot of times we can miss the mark on what happens past sharing our story because there's so much that can evolve from this. So I have published 4 books last year. co-authored on two, Feisty being one of them. And when I look at this book, I see a landing page, you know, just like you would see online. It is an introductory into who I am, who I help, how I help them, an opportunity to hear my voice, decide if that voice speaks to you. And so, you know, coming from this marketing sense of wanting to expose an impact, to me, the book becomes a starting point. And so just like a landing page, it's kind of that first introduction into, here's what you get when you know me, when you work with me, when you allow me to impact you. And so it will not be the next book. I mean, it was the next book, but it will not be the last book. There will be many more to come. And I will keep doing that because I love just the space of being able to reintroduce over and over different thoughts and concepts and opportunities for people.
That is beautiful. A landing page, a business card. And I feel that, Sarah, it's also a way of you challenging yourself to new things, exploring new things, exploring new content, exploring different ways of doing things. And I think whatever you do, no matter what, you would still always have a book within you. Even if you've already just had one, you will always have a book within you. Like suddenly, oh, like that could be a book, that could be a book. So absolutely spot on, Sarah. And if you take your book to a networking event, it's a fantastic, most effective business card compared to that baby little card, because baby little card, people throw them away. A book, people rarely throw them away. God, my parents have got books for like over 40 years. Like it's still there in that cupboard. It's dusty, but it's still there. It doesn't go away. So Adriana, darling, let's come back to you. You're doing so well at 6 o'clock. We should do this more often, darling. So tell us, what is it that kind of like pushed you to share your voice in a book?
So I'm actually on a mission to help everyone share their voice. I think we all have a masterpiece within that is just dying to be released, at least one. I think we walk around with our stories on our eyes like tinted glasses, and we don't even realize that they're there until we take them off and look at them and go, oh, look, it's a story. This is for other people. It's not for me anymore. In Feisty, I talk about the very scary dragon story. I think every woman out there has this feeling like someone has taken her agency away from her and is guarding it like a very scary dragon. And I really wanted everyone to know that the only way to slay that very scary dragon is to use your authentic voice, to speak out and tell those stories that people told you not to talk about. Talk about them.
Absolutely. Like kind of like people not tell you, not don't say it, shh. Like that is the thing that's gonna either have the most impactful to you or someone else, or gonna open up an opportunities. Because I just feel that it's like a lily pad, right? Yes. So one opportunity gets to another, to the other, to the other. But it does start with sharing your voice in whatever capacity that you can do. Absolutely spot on, darling. So Stacey, gorgeous, tell us what made you like say yes to the offer of sharing your voice in a book.
Well, I'd done it before.
Right. Okay, so I've done it before.
Wasn't that much of a cold water immersion.
No.
I am in this book for the reason, same reason that I've been on stages for 40 years, that I've been producing my own chapbooks and CDs for 40 years, because women and Black women in particular, women of color in particular, are not represented, not by ourselves. We are the only ones who can tell our stories and tell it the right way. And that gets overlooked or ignored or pushed aside. And I have spent 40 years using my voice and trying to train other women to use their voices to make sure that their stories are told the right way. In Feisty specifically, I talk about what that cost. Changing your voice after doing this for a long time, the effect the pandemic had on the way that I write and think was a huge risk. And a lot of women will talk about, oh, I had this, you know, mad triumph, but they don't talk about the risk factor. Mm-hmm. And they need to know about that. They need to know, yes, that fear is there. So my chapter in Feisty addresses that but my career overall is about making sure that women put their voices into the wind.
Absolutely, put the voices out there, and you're absolutely spot on, because marginalized women like you and me, we're so underrepresented. And even the voices that share our voice are not the authentic voice. They just make, you know, it's not our voice because we're so scared to share our own voice because of judgments and preconception. That's what I fight for. I fought for judgments and preconceptions. But you're kind of leading the way, Stacey, in trailblazing that path. You know what? There's this fear, there's this cost, there's this all things going on. But when one person comes to you and say, you saved my life, you would take all that 1,000 times more and do it over again immediately. So beautiful. Thank you so much, Stacey. And Kimberly, I can feel you wanting to share. So tell us, what is it that made you want to share your voice in a book?
Well, I've always knew I had a book in me. Mm-hmm. It was just the opportunity and when it presented itself. And I thank Red Thread Publishing for that. And it was scary, and it was, mm-hmm. it was not knowing what to say or how much to say or how much not to say, but helping others was more important than my fear. And so my chapter in Feisty is my journey, my life journey thus far. And that includes abuse, teenage pregnancy, addiction, domestic violence, and I just needed to share that in hopes that women, other women, would know that they're not alone, that they're not alone, and that I use those experiences and my wisdom as lessons to thrive. And I need other women to know that you can thrive, and that you can be made whole, and that you can be restored, and that what the things that the experiences you went through does not define who you are. And therefore, I strongly believe that once you find your creative purpose, you'll find your power. And therefore, when you find your power, you can walk in your authenticity. So it's just to put a voice out there to help women and to share and let them know that you are worth it. And there is work to do, but you can do it and you can be whole. And so that's why I shared this story, using it as a stepping stone to platforms where I can speak to many women, and also a stepping stone to my solo book, which is Bruised But Not Broken. And so that's why I wrote it. I wrote it to help other women, other hurting women.
Nice. Can I really feel the goosebump? I just felt the goosebump when she was like sharing it. I'm like, yeah, I want to be in her tribe. Like, take me on her train. Absolutely. Like, all women, all children, men and women, we are whole, perfect and complete the way we are and the way we are not. It's just the society, whatever, tells us that we're broken, but we're not. Like Kimberly's book, Bruised But Not Broken, right? You just have a little bit of scar in you. And let me tell you, darlings, I don't follow people who don't have scars, because all the pretty boys are just pretty, okay? I follow people who have scars that leading the way, that they fall. If you look at the football, right? That's what's the big thing? Okay, Super Bowl, right? It just gets me, because seeing big men wearing those things and tights, it's just like, you know, it's on a whole new world. But the pretty boys doesn't get themselves dirty, but those who make things happen, they all like have got armed this way, they're dirty. So that's what it takes. And darling, I would follow you everywhere, because you've got the bruised, the scars and everything to prove that you're a warrior. So let's kind of like hone in into Sierra, the grounding stone, the center of, it's like the Matrix, the oracle of things. So darling.
I'm not sure about that. But so Red Thread exists because I wanted to write a book. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I could, and I did several times. And I realized that we want to write our story. We want to share our voice, but we don't know how. And there's not nearly enough emotional support, logistical support for women to do this. And Feisty exists because the subtitle of Feisty is Dangerously Amazing Women Using Their Voices and Making an Impact. And I just listening to each of these women, these are some of the authors of Feisty, really talking about the whole process, both the reinvention process, when we dig in and share our own story, we discover a whole nother level of ourselves. We always say we write to discover what we know. It's this process, it's very cathartic. It serves the author herself, but then why we put it in a book and it's not just a journal prompt that you're doing all by yourself is because once you do that, it becomes a gift for others. We have no idea who needs that story, who needs that voice to click something forward for them, to give them permission, to make them feel like they're not alone, to inspire them to go do business, do family, do life, do love, do whatever, who they are, right? And so it's this incredible gift that we give ourselves that then ripples out. Our logo is just this drop and this ripple, right? This incredible impact that can be made when we are willing as women to share our voices, share our stories, share our wisdom. And what I love the most, I heard it almost in everybody's story and it's super true for me. We come to this process of like, I don't know if I can. I really want to, but I don't know if I can. And after that terrifying moment, it doesn't matter if you've published one or seven or 50 books, every time you hit that button, there's a, what have I just done, right? But once we get through that sort of freak out, the question isn't, I don't know if I can anymore. It's, what else can I do? And it sets us on this path. Like Stacey's founded this incredible thing that is a whole, it's gonna take on a life of its own. Adrienne's building a whole business that's gonna have incredible, it already is having incredible impact and support of others. Whether the book is the launching pad or the instigation of what you create or the amplification of what you're already creating, I can't get enough of it.
Absolutely, it's kind of like an addiction, isn't it? And you've told me before that even if it just helps one person, even that person is just yourself with your words, that is worth something, you know, priceless thing that just for the day, because you don't know who's going to pick it up, who's going to see it, even bits and pieces and put a smile or give them some hope or give them a little bit of laughter in that day. All right, darling, let's wrap up with this. In one line, what is the biggest impact that you feel or you've seen happening that your voice has given to you? For example, mine is story, TED Talk, paid speaking engagements, and to live in a world where my daughter Nadra is going to grow up as a confident Muslim woman. So we'll start with the Sunshine Group. If it so happens, they're just like next to each other. All right, Sunshine Group. Bethany, go. What is the biggest impact that you've seen from your voice that transcends from your story? In one line.
I think it from like what Sierra just said is like, what else can I do? Like, it's just the beginning. So there's so much more to come.
Brilliant. And she's just always like, that's it. Like, she just makes the mic drop with her succinct answers. I love it. Right, Toby, I'm not sure your shirt is like white or yellow, but it looks like sunshine to me. So because of the lighting. So tell us, what is the biggest impact that your voice has given you by sharing in a book?
Well, when I was connected with Red Thread, I had already written like 20 some chapters of my memoir. So this chapter Feisty is like just a snapshot of what I have expanded on, the full experience, and it goes a lot deeper. So, I mean, it's a launching pad. And, you know, I feel like as I'm creating this business that I intend on people knowing all over the nation, I want them to know my story, because I feel like even in the food business, if you look at my website, you'll understand I'm preserving the past through food and tradition, and I'm a story collector. So a recipe collector, I'm a preserver. And so I want people to know my story. I mean, I buy bottles of wine based on the story of the people who own the vineyard. I mean, I just love that I connect through other, and like other people's struggles. I mean, it inspires me. So
thank you. Love it. Thank you so much. And Sierra, darling, what's the biggest impact your story has given you?
Community connection.
Beautiful. Absolutely. And that's what you created today. Embrace it, darling. Each and every one here are here because you had the vision and wanting to fight for it every single breath. So Poet, darling, what's the biggest impact that your story has given you?
Validation and to learn to self-validate. It was healing when this opportunity came. I had, like I'm sure so many other women, had just went through a breaking up of a relationship that I didn't see ending, you know, me and my mom. And this having, as soon as it happened, having the opportunity to share it really saved me in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Saving you from, you know, from yourself, first and foremost, like taking care of yourself is a self-soothing part of you. Beautiful. Adrienne, darling, so what is the biggest impact sharing your story in a voice that's giving you in one line?
Permission for myself and also for everyone else to show up and shine just as I am and to thrive on my own terms.
That is absolutely spot on. Owning the spotlight on your terms, being unapologetic about who you are. Sarah, darling, what's the biggest impact the book has given you?
So my chapter's called Selfish is the New Sexy. And anyone who knows me knows that whatever's coming out of my mouth is going to be pretty bold. A few weeks ago, I was back home at my parents' house and my 7-year-old niece was there. She lost her dad last year and her mom. And so I was trying to get her ready to get out the door. And I'm like, come on, we got to go. And she said, Auntie Sarah, I need to tie my shoes the way that I like to tie my shoes, because then I'm going to feel really comfortable about walking because my shoelaces always come undone. And I just thought, like, here I am shoving this kid out the door and she is like selfishly just owning who she is and how she needs to be. And then the whole time that we were out, she took her little sister's hand, who's 4 years old. She held her sister's hand the whole time. And she looks up at me and she says, you see, Auntie Sarah, because I did this my way, I can now help my sister. And I just thought, thank goodness you're so selfish. And it's not even that, it's not selfish though, right? But we're perceived when we take care of ourselves that, you know, this is the way that it's not typically done. We should be giving and giving and giving. And she took for herself, even though, you know, she was being shoved out the door and she showed up differently. And, you know, seeing women do this is probably the best impact that I've had from this process.
That is beautiful. And sometimes I do feel that children are given to us as our teacher, not the other way around. So like your niece is just showing you, Auntie Sarah, this is what you need to learn, okay? This is the, like, as I feel that they are so connected to the divine that they're so pure, they're so light, and they're just going to tell you straight up. You know, when you pray, God, show me a sign, and then boom, they'll like tell you how it is. So Stacy, in one line, what is the biggest impact that your book, sharing your story in a book, has given you?
The biggest impact has been showing myself, admittedly, and other women that our stories continue to be, first of all, valuable, secondly, valid, and in the third spot, in immediate need of being told now and being told properly.
That is beautiful, being told now, being told properly, and kind of like, what is now, what is properly, what is right, kind of like you get to define that and how you want to treat your path. Okay, Kimberly, sweetheart, like, we're wrapping it up with you, darling. Let's go and stand it strong. What is the biggest impact that you've got from sharing your story in a book?
Yes, the greatest impact for me was that to be able to share my voice, and that my voice is powerful, and that my voice can make changes. But even bigger than that, one of the impacts was when one of the women read my book and they reached out to me on Facebook. And she said to me, thank you. This was such a powerful impact on me. And it is now making me look at my life. So it has impacted people, or at least this one woman, the way I hoped it would. So it did exactly what I wanted it to do. So I am grateful for that. And like you said, if we just help one person, and I was just so grateful to see that it did impact someone.
Absolutely, and that's beautiful. Just trusting and knowing that it will help someone, no matter who they are. And I remember just before I go on the tech stage, that's one of my prayers. Just God, just help me take care of one person, and I'll be so grateful. And kind of like going on the stage. Thank you so much. What a wonderful conversation. Such an impactful, such full of love, joy with these beautiful ladies. They're here today with me hanging out. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining. This is your host, Dr. Iztihar Jamil. Until the next episode, tell yourself, yes, I can. And so it is done. Until the next episode, say, come off mute, darling, and say bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much.